Welcome to Grails, a podcast by Alton Insights. My name's John Tunger, and on this episode, we have friend of the show back on, I think I can say first official friend of the show, as it's the first time we've had a guest come on twice, but we are joined by the one, the only, John Shuck, aka Shuck Tales on Twitter, and he's going to be talking about where he sees the market going, his opinion on some of the recent product developments, including live trading across the different platforms. But if you didn't listen to the previous episode where John was on the show, you can go back and listen to that one. He really talks about his process and how he approaches the different fractional platforms, what assets he likes to invest in, how he has a data-driven approach. He's just a real OG in the fractional alternative asset space. So a real fun episode, hearing some Shuck Tale rants. Let's get started. John, it is so great to have you back on the show. I'm excited for today. Man, you've got that grape Kool-Aid right next to you, so I've got a feeling that this could get a little crazy. We might get out of control here with the grape Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting night.
We got to start, at Rally folks here. Finally, they put on the Aston on their platform, and this has been something that you've been looking forward to for a very long time. You now have shares in this Aston. Talk about that process. Did they tell you that it's finally coming? Like, we have a surprise for you. What was that process like now that you are invested in that dream car?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I got an email from George, the CEO of Rally.
What?
Yeah, directly from him. He says, due to my patience and my persistence in wanting to be an investor in that asset, they wanted me to be investor number one. So it happened 3 or 4 days before I think anybody else had access to it. But I was able to go in there and purchase my 30 shares that I've been waiting for over a year now. So
wow.
I was excited and thrilled, and it was just it was fantastic. It's a beautiful car. It's an Aston Martin. I mean, they're the classic British styling and engineering and hand built vehicle. I think it's a fantastic investment.
When the CEO emailed you, did you take a hold of that opportunity at all to be like, and by the way, you know what, why are there not more cars on the platform? Or did you take advantage of that situation at all? Or
no,
what'd you do?
I really didn't. I was just so just dumbstruck that they would have even thought about something like that and contacting me that, I was thrilled. It was fantastic. And I jumped right on it and said, absolutely. This is the account information, and let's get them shares in there.
Nice. It was fun seeing all the people on Twitter actually reaching out to you finally.
Yeah. And I think since then it's been about 2 weeks now, I think. I think it's up to about 220 investors now have
wow.
been granted early access, and I think it's funded over 120,000 maybe. So it's exciting. I mean, there's people that want to own the car. So
yeah, it's on its way.
Yeah.
So since last time we talked, so much has happened in the markets. There's live trading across, all the different marketplaces. Man, we're not necessarily all completely live, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to remember since last time we talked exactly. Maybe it was just Collectible at the time had it. How is this new where the market's evolved? How has that impacted now how you're investing? Now that it's not just like a buy and hold for a long time, but you have the availability to be more liquid. How has that changed your process?
It hasn't. I'm still a buy and hold investor. I still think these assets are 3, 5, 7 year hold assets, and the appreciation potential is there. So I haven't changed a thing. I'm still buying what I'm interested in, and I plan on holding them long term. I did. There was some controversy on Twitter a couple nights ago. I did. Announced that I sold one share of
what?
It's shocking to me as it is to anybody else. But the portfolio was getting a little out of balance, a little bit too heavy towards that one asset, and I wanted to free up some cash for some stuff in the future. So decided to sell a share of a Mickey Mantle card.
Okay.
So,
and that one you feel like would be a pretty strong in the future. Was there something else that you were concerned about when it came to that one?
No, just, I think I had something like 6 or 8% of my portfolio was in just that one asset at the time.
Wow.
So I sold one share. It was the $190 some, I think. So, you know, it'll give me the opportunity to expand into a couple of other things in the future. There's some interesting things coming up on Rally. So just wanted to have a little bit of cash available.
Yeah. Well, and so that was kind of actually one of my questions there. There's some stuff coming up on Rally. You got the Aston. You've also been asking for coins for a while, and now you got one of the coins, which is exciting.
They've got, you know, that.
What are the things you're looking at now?
I love the Darwin Origin of Species book that's coming up on Rally. I think the valuation on that is fantastic. Lawrence Taylor rookie card. It's coming up on Rally. I like that. Pierce Brosnan watch, I think, is pretty cool. I'm not sold on the $80,000 valuation, but it's a neat asset with it being tied directly to the movie. The Apple iPad, I think, is interesting. I own shares of the iPod, and I own shares of a couple of the other Apple assets. So that iPad prototype does look like it's got some potential. And then there's a bunch of other stuff on the secondary market that might be coming up. I might throw some cash at every once in a while.
Well, okay. And then I know you've mentioned, you've been talking about stamps on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that still like the one thing that's like, come on, Rally, we want some stamps. What are you thinking of there?
Stamps are one of the most collected assets anywhere. I mean, more than sports cards, more than, you know, Pokemon or dinosaurs or watches, artwork, that more people collect stamps than almost anything else. So I think there's so much potential there. Showpiece has the magenta one C stamp that they're now offering. And that was one of those holy grails that I was shocked somebody was able to get their hands on and actually fractionalize. So I haven't decided if I'm actually going to invest in that. It's through a company that's based out of the UK. So there's currency fluctuations that are involved and all that. And I'm not sure yet, but it is definitely interesting that somebody was able to get their hands on that and fractionalize it.
Right.
And there's so many other stamp options out there. That I think it's pretty interesting, pretty exciting what could happen in the future.
It seems like just more and more assets are actually coming to these different marketplaces. In terms of like, and maybe it's a good refresher for people who, I don't know if they've listened to the first episode, talk a bit about like your process as in terms of like where you start when you see it in an asset, like, oh, is that something you could be interested in? Do you just start Googling around? You know, looking at data, what is your process when you're looking at these different assets for people who might be newer to the space?
I typically start out with things that catch my eye. If it's a toy I played with as a kid or an item I've heard of, and it's something I'm interested in, then I tend to do a lot of research on each one of those. If it's an item that I've just never been interested in personally, I don't spend a lot of time researching those anymore. I used to. I really used to put time and effort into every option that came on these fractional platforms, but there's just so much volume today that I can't keep up with that time commitment. So I've narrowed it down to just those items that I have interest in, that I've always had interest in. So it kind of makes it easier, like with the coins and the stamps, because I've had my eye on those for years. I never collected many coins or stamps as a kid or as an adult, but I knew about them and I knew what to look for and what was exciting and what was historical. So those were, that's kind of where I start, is those items that I've got a little bit of knowledge on and I get excited about.
And then how do you start going and digging about with values and looking at that?
Just Google searches to see what comps I can find. It's it's not easy, especially with some of the early toys like the Star Wars toys that are on Rally right now. There's so many different variants. It's one of the things that I wish the platforms would do more of is just a little bit of education on this is the specific item. This is why it's special. This is why we think it's going to appreciate in value. And here's how it's different than those other things that you can easily find on Google that might not be price comparison. You know, that if a toy, Star Wars toys, you know, $20,000 or something, and you go out and you Google it, and all you can find is a bunch of things selling on eBay for, you know, $2,300. Right. It's hard to justify a $20,000 valuation. So point out to everybody what makes this particular item special. I hope the platforms kind of do more of that.
And in the meantime, it's been nice for Alton because we'll go on and we'll be like, hey, so this, and this, you know, and here's the past comps.
But it's that is one of the, you know, the areas that I go to for information is, you know, what Bradley and Dylan and the rest of the team put together and just the details they're actually able to provide. There's so much more of that they're able to do with the new Discord channel. It's a fantastic resource.
Have you been messing around with the new platform at all? I know you were an early beta user.
Yeah, I was, I don't even know how early I was, but I was pretty early.
I think you were number one, probably. You're close to it.
It's a fantastic resource for especially beginners with the amount of information that's on there about the platforms and the potential asset classes and all the items. It really is a great spot for beginners to go to and learn what all the options are. And then once you start buying, being able to put your individual purchases and track all your share prices and quantities and all that and have it across platforms all be in one location, it's a fantastic resource. Yeah. I'm really excited about exploring it more, getting all my stuff in there and really finding out what the tool is able to do, because I have a feeling I've just scratched the surface with it. And, you know, the future development is going to be exciting. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. It's just the beginning, that asset table and be able to track everything. And so you can just easily, if you're looking to get into a card, easily find, you know, similar comps and, you know, what it's doing on the different platforms. If there's multiple versions, this really cuts down that research time.
The asset table is a great resource where you to go and sort through all that information and filter out what you don't want to see and what you're looking for and really narrow it down to putting the information on your screen in front of you that helps you make better decisions.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, you kind of said something earlier. You were like, hey, as the volume has become so much, you know, I just now invest in what interests me. How crazy is it that we're at a point now? Because a year ago, it was nowhere close to this where you can choose, or we're now that's like, man, there's so many assets hitting the platforms all the time that now we can be more pick and choosy.
The very first investment I ever made was a Rally car. I just looked at the date today. I think it was something like November 9th or 10th of 2019. And I really, I bought into every IPO they had because they were the platform and the cars is what the options were. And I was very excited about those cars. And then it's just changed over time. You know, we've got the collectibles, we've got all the other stuff, the artwork through Masterworks. And there are so many options today. It just, it's really crazy what we have available to us. It seems like it's been a while. Like I look back on it and I think, oh my gosh, I've been doing this forever. But at the same time, the time has just flown right by. It's been two short years and so much has changed. It really is fantastic.
Now you mentioned that you kind of have some maybe unpopular opinions when it comes to some live trading things with, you know, for example, on Rally's new trading platform. Dive into that a bit more. What are some of your thoughts?
1 week in the books and we've had I think it was 10 assets the first week, and then they added 20 more at the beginning of this week. Yep. I know it is an unpopular opinion. I express it occasionally online, and I get a lot of pushback. I'm not a fan of the daily trading. I really think these assets need to be viewed as long-term holds. I don't think assets trading very low quantities of shares regularly is going to give us an accurate understanding of what the shares are worth and what the underlying assets are worth. Previously, you know, the way Rally was doing it is infrequent trading windows. There'd be, you know, they started out with one or two, and then it went up to nine at one point. And then for the past 9 months, I think we've been at three assets per day. I know that's not enough for people. I know they don't like that. But going to the daily trading, I think there's been something lost in how special it was to be able to see what's coming up on the schedule, do some research on it to find out what you wanted to buy into. And there was this hype, there was this buildup, there was, there was excitement in logging in each day and seeing all the bids and asks come in and seeing where the price settled. And I miss that. I understand people want to go into the app each day, buy two shares, hit buy, and it's theirs, or sell two shares, hit their price in, hit sell, and they're gone. I see the value in that, but I think we've lost something. We've lost something exciting about the entire process. And I think it's much more difficult to keep track of what are our shares really worth, when what is the underlying asset really worth? Because if I log in today and I hold, say, 20 shares of an asset, and over the past week, a half a dozen have sold, you know, I can't sell all my shares today. I can sell maybe a couple, and then maybe a couple the next day, and I don't know what I'm going to get for it. But when you get this buildup of interest in an asset, and people log in and they know throughout the day they're going to put all the bids and the asks in, and then there's going to be one clearing price. And instead of a couple shares trading each day, it turns out to be, you know, say 100 or 150 shares. I think that gives us a better idea on what those shares are actually worth, and then what the underlying asset is actually worth. So obviously the new model has advantages. But I think we've lost something that people are going to miss eventually.
Yeah. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about Rally, but does the same stuff kind of apply to, you know, Otis and Collectible? Because you're also on those platforms quite a bit.
Absolutely.
As well.
Otis was the first one where I really noticed it, because they published their transactions. I think they publish up to 50 transactions. And I would go in and I'd look at some of these assets, and the Mischief artwork was the one that really stuck out to me. And I tweeted about it fairly regularly, because I was in a mood, and I just wanted to make sure people understood how upset I was. But you know, one day it would trade at $20 and one share would sell, and then the next day it'd trade at $12 and two shares would sell. Well, the asset's got, I don't know how many it's got, but maybe, you know, say 3,000 shares. Well, if two shares are trading in a day down 40% from what one share traded 2 days ago, that doesn't tell us what anything is worth.
Right.
Nobody
right.
has a clue.
You're shooting in the dark. Yep.
Absolutely. But when assets, when shares are compiled throughout the day and they trade, you know, once a month, and you get 200 or 300 exchange hands, you got a good idea. So yeah, Otis was the first platform where I was really tracking it and was getting frustrated with it. And it's pretty much the same on Collectible. They don't publish their transactions, so we don't really know exactly what is trading hands, which is frustrating. But it's a different world today than it was, you know, 6 months ago when things were simpler.
Yep. Now, you've also been pretty big in investing into art, right? I mean, I even saw on Twitter, you, I think, posted some referral fee or referral link or something to a new art one, particle or something like that. And then, you know, you have been investing in Masterworks, and they lowered their minimum, right? They're at 1K minimum now. Is that?
It has been at 1,000 for probably a year, maybe. Okay. Or maybe it was just that there was a group of early people that got early access, and I was in that group. Maybe we were always at that 1K level, but I still think 1K is a little too high. That's a lot of money for somebody to put together for an alternative asset like this. I really wish that they would lower theirs down to, you know, maybe $400 or $500. And I think it would allow more people to take part in it. I know they don't have difficulty filling IPOs because things sell out within, you know, a week or so most of the time. But I think it would really allow more people to get excited about what they do, jump into the IPO market and get a share of, you know, a couple of different assets instead of trying to put $1,000 into one, or instead of just buying on the secondary market, because that's, although I think Masterworks secondary market is the best option that we have out there right now.
I do like it.
I do. I like the, there's two things about it I like. I like the idea that myself as a buyer connects directly with the seller and we negotiate on the price. But I also love the fact that the underlying asset is not based on or not valued at what the shares are trading at. Masterworks does an appraisal and they will say, this painting is worth X amount of dollars per share. And if shares are trading on the secondary market above or below that, that's up to the individual buyers and sellers. But they know better than myself, who's buying 5 or 10 shares at a time. They know better what that asset is actually worth. So I like the Masterworks process the best so far.
Right. It basically gives you a chance to like raise your hand and say like, hey, I need to liquidate out of this if there's a buyer that wants to buy my shares. It's a bulletin board system. You put it up on there and someone can say, oh, I will take this ad, you know, your bulletin board ad, and say, yes, I will be a buyer for you. You negotiate a price.
Or you can either accept the person's whatever price they've posted, or you can counter and say, I want to change the share number or I want to change the share price and negotiate a deal. So if somebody's selling 100 shares, yeah, they can sell the full lot of 100 shares, but they can also sell 5 shares to 20 different people.
I'm going to put you on the spot with this one, but did you see on Masterworks that they forced through basically an acquisition of one of their pieces of art? So like there was no shareholder vote, which I'm guessing is okay on their standards, but for the George Condos staring into space, that all of a sudden that one, you know, for 31% return, they said, congratulations, right? They sent out this email. We've accepted a buyout offer. If you're an investor, you're like, what?
I'm not an investor in that piece. So I didn't know that there wasn't a shareholder vote beforehand. Now knowing that, I don't like that at all. That's pretty scary that they decided we're taking this investment away from everybody. So
yeah, maybe when you're a unicorn, you don't have to worry about it, but you know,
that's right.
I don't know.
that's unfortunate. I don't support that at all.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like when they make that, I hope they make that clear when you buy it and stuff like that. But I know it's promising to see.
I'm not sure they have made that. I don't think they have made that clear. It's probably in the fine print somewhere, but I don't ever remember seeing that in any of the information I have that they would sell an asset without shareholder input.
Yeah. Well, what I do like is that it shows more activity on their front, because there hasn't been a lot of acquisition activity for, like, you know, they've been one of the biggest buyers in the space. And so it's like they're storing these up. So I've kind of wanted to see some more selling happen on their end.
They've just had the one sale. It was last year. It was the Banksy painting, wasn't it?
Yep. It was.
I own shares in that I bought on the secondary market for more money than what I got for them. So I don't know how many investors were part of that asset, but I must have been one of the only ones to lose money. It was it was like $40. So I didn't lose huge money, but I lost a couple dollars per share that I owned on those just because I bought on the secondary at a higher valuation than what the final sale price ended up being.
Yeah. I know it's time flies when you're having fun, and we've already been in this for, you know, over 20 something minutes. What anything you want to talk about for the people before we go? What are something that you want them to know from Shuck Tales right here?
I think people need to understand the price they pay for a share of an asset directly is related to the value of the underlying asset. I don't think people get that yet. That a video game divided up by 1,000 shares sold for $12 a piece is valued at $12,000. If you jump in and you say, I'm willing to spend $18 per share for this asset, you're valuing that underlying asset at $18,000. You're not just valuing the shares that you purchase at $18 a piece, you're valuing the total asset at $18,000. And I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah. So some more education around that investing 101.
Absolutely. You know, it's different than, say, Apple, where there's, 100 billion shares outstanding. It doesn't matter if one person happens to pay a little bit more than they should for a couple shares or a couple hundred shares of Apple. But we're dealing on a smaller scale, so it matters what people pay for these shares. So I hope they really take that in consideration, especially now that there is this instant matching on all the platforms, that one person making a decision that isn't in even their best interests is going to affect other people.
All right. Well, be careful. So you'll be hearing it from John Shuck, AKA at Shuck Tales, S-C-H-U-C-K Tales on Twitter. He's also in the Alton Discord group if you want to be talking about assets there. Thanks so much for joining the show. It's been fun.
Absolutely.